This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I'm just going to sit here laid back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics. Cause 88.
I've had like 10 rough starts to this podcast. I keep on trying to make it a smooth start. I'm just going to dive into it because I'm already a day late with it. It's late at night. Need to get it recorded. Have an early morning with my son. So it's been a crazy week, and I haven't been able to read a lot of stuff that I really want to talk about. I've been trying to dabble in other new thing, reading, and a lot of stuff just hasn't really resonated, so I've kind of tried it a little bit, but just moved on. I tried reading some Predator. It was okay, but didn't really do it for me. I tried getting started on one that I'm actually finally today getting, and that's reading Conan. This version is written by Kurt Busiek, and it's art by Kerry Nord. I kept getting stuck on was just kind of the intro part that didn't even involve Conan. Once I finally got past that, it was a little bit better. But I haven't read enough of it to really feel like talking about it yet. So, with all that's been going on, we had a house guest for 4 days last week. Yesterday I got called back into work, so I ended up working like a 12-hour day. And then I came home to my son. So I reached out for some listener questions. So I have some questions from both of the patrons of the podcast, Rob Krieger likes and Ed Moore. I got questions from a couple other people to add into that. So we'll jump on with that. Then I have a little topic to talk about after that, and we'll call it a podcast. So to start with, I have a question from Alex, and he asked, when a writer produces an average at best licensed comic and a brilliant creator-owned comic or a big two comic, do you wonder whether their heart wasn't or that there was too much enforced direction? That's kind of an interesting question. Of course, one of my favorite comics, one of the few comics that I still read on a monthly basis, is a licensed property, Teenage. Now, the main ongoing series, Kevin Eastman's name is always on there. But, you know, he's not sitting down doing the meat of the writing. It's usually Tom Waltz doing it. I haven't exactly read much, if anything else, by Tom Waltz. But there have been occasional times that it's been other writers on it. And even though I really enjoy Ninja Turtles, like, you can tell that there's a lot that is kind of a bigger picture with the direction going on there. There's obviously multiple hands involved in the scripting and editor on the book. So I think you can always see that with a licensed property where there's not necessarily the same kind of freedom, just run with what you want to do. But you can see that quite often with books from the big two also. I think the times that you see a big two book that can really exceed expectations when it is a character that they allow the writer they want with. My biggest example of that would be Hawkeye, written by Matt Fraction. Most of the art was done by David Aja. A fantastic series. It was also colored by Matt Hollingsworth, probably my favorite colorist. I love David Aja's art, and that's probably the best Fraction comics I've ever read. I've read some of his other stuff, but nothing has really hit me the same way. And some of the creator-owned stuff that he moved on to after, it really didn't the same way that Hawkeye did. So I was a little disappointed when his run on Hawkeye ended, and I didn't really have anything to replace it. But that was a character that, I mean, how much does, you know, Hawkeye really matter in the bigger scheme of things at Marvel? How much do they really care about it? They obviously allowed Fraction to take it and do what he wanted to. A different kind of book, a hero book. And, you know, that's something that I'm sure has been done before, but for me, I was a fairly new comic reader at that time, so it's the first time that I had seen it. And I'm pretty sure that Hawkeye is a pretty well-regarded book by people in general, even if some people may be somewhat naysayers about it. But since then, I feel like we've seen quite a few books doing that. Another good example was The Vision, written by Tom King. And that was written just, very different than you would expect to see The Vision in The Avengers like that. But then if you look at the big character, big two books, you can tell there's a lot of forced direction in them because they're tying in with other stuff. There's a bigger plan and bigger scheme of things. So I don't necessarily know if that's always the best comparison. But you can definitely tell a difference between something that is creator-owned and something that's not that the writer doesn't have the freedom to do what they want. A good example for me would be Jeff Lemire. The stuff that he wrote for Marvel, it just never grabbed me the same way as the stuff that he independently. I enjoyed the stuff that he wrote for Valiant more, partially because at the time I was enjoying Valiant more, but I think that you saw he had more creative freedom at Valiant wanted to with stuff. At least that's what it felt like. But my favorite Jeff Lemire stuff has always been his creator going back to X County, Trillium, Sweet Tooth, and then now with all the stuff that he's doing with Black Hammer and the tie-ins with that, that's just fantastic. Royal City also. Royal City is one of my absolute favorite. All good stuff. I really like Jeff Lemire, but the stuff he did with Marvel, I mean, he took over Hawkeye from Matt Fraction. So it was following up something that I really liked, but didn't resonate. And then he was doing some X-Men stuff that just never felt right. So I don't know. He's done stuff for DC that I've enjoyed for Marvel. But I think you can definitely see it when a writer's heart isn't in the book, when they're given more direction than they are on their creator-owned stuff. Some people, I think, need the boundaries, and some people, I think, no boundaries. I think you can kind of see the difference sometimes, and that's kind of the best I can answer that. You can definitely see things, and I think it depends somewhat on the creator, not just on whether it's licensed property or Big Two property creation. Rob Krieger asks me, the first one is, are there any particular DC comic runs you've heard about but never read that you'd like to, or any particular DC character more of? As far as runs of DC comics, I don't know necessarily that there are specific runs that I want to read. Usually the ones that I've thought I've wanted to read events or, you know, something of that nature that they exist there. So you want to kind of get to them eventually. But every time I've tried a DC event, it hasn't been something that I've really. And I think the reason for that is I don't have the same knowledge of DC character or the same. I don't know. I'm naturally drawn more to Marvel, so I have more breadth of knowledge of Marvel characters. So I could dive into a Marvel event and kind of get in the flow of things a little bit better than a DC event. I was trying to read 52, and I didn't have a lot of reason to care. A lot of the characters that were involved in it, especially because it was, there just wasn't really anything to draw me in. So I think going to the second question, are there any particular DC characters more of? I think that's kind of where I need to start, is getting to a wider variety of DC characters. The major, even with that, I mean, I've read a lot of Batman stuff, but I haven't read a lot of any other specific DC character. I've done a lot more Marvel reading than I have DC. Even like Superman, I've done more Elseworlds type of Superman reading than I have Superman proper. So I think that's kind of the starting point. There are some characters that I have some interest in checking out more of, like Midnighter. I've heard I'm always interested in kind of hearing what characters have had really good that they really loved. Most of the recommendations I get from DC seem to be these events or kind of strange books, like 52, all the different crises that DC has had in their universes, the Injustice Gods Among Us books. I tried getting into the first one of that, and I just, you know, once again, I couldn't really get drawn into it. So definitely looking for recommendations. If anybody has a character that they really love a specific run of, let me know so it's something I can kind of put on my radar. One character that I've been kind of interested in checking out just based on hearing Nick Wetmore actually talk about him is Starman. I've always been interested in picking up some Starman. Midnighter, aside from Batman, the one other character that I've really read much of has probably been Green Arrow. I did read a good chunk of Green Lantern stuff. I was in the New 52 era, but Green Arrow I've read some older stuff, some new stuff. I kind of dabbled in a lot of different stuff when Rebirth happened, but I with it after. So I need to work on my basics and then kind of go. I think events are a good way to get a good cross-section of stuff, but you have to have kind of enough to stake into to start with. Then he goes on to ask me, what is my favorite TV sitcom of all time? And I thought about that one a little bit. And as an adult, The Office was definitely my favorite. I loved that show when I got into it. It had been out for quite a while. And one day I was doing homework and reruns were on TV for like 2 straight hours. They had 4 episodes in a row. And, you know, I'd kind of seen The Office here and there a little bit, but never really got into it. But then when that happened and I saw 4 consecutive episodes, they weren't even just random episodes. They were 4 consecutive episodes show. It really drew me in a lot more because I started to build a connection to the characters. One of the Office such a good show is there is quite a few well-developed characters in the show rather than 1 or 2 really well-developed characters and a bunch of supporting characters that are pretty flat. So I've really always loved that show. As a kid, going into being a young adult, The Simpsons was my favorite show. I stopped watching it probably around the 12th, where I thought it started going downhill, and I haven't watched since then. But the first, 11 seasons of The Simpsons, I would say would have to be up there. I would really like to watch them again, but they're not on any streaming service, so that makes it quite a bit harder, because I don't really want to spend the money on going through and buying all that stuff again. But at some point, I'm getting a little more savvy with purchasing TV shows, for that matter. I haven't really done it yet, but I've kind of scoped it out a little bit. So I think at some point that's what I'll do is I'll start purchasing season by season on Amazon or something like that, to where I can just watch it when I feel like it and pick up where I left off. That's one thing that makes it hard to watch old TV shows unless somebody is watching them with me, to where we're watching it together. It's really hard to keep up with an old show on my own because I kind of have to find snippets of time to watch it. So those are my favorite sitcoms. What about my favorite drama? My favorite drama is definitely a recent show. As a kid, I wasn't particularly attached to any drama. As an adult, I watched some here or there. Like, the biggest one I can remember watching when I was, through high school age was probably ER. But as an adult, there's been a few I've gotten into watching and watched the whole run of, but the one that I just was The Wire. I thought that show was fantastic. It was an HBO show, but it wasn't as gratuitous as a lot of the newer HBO shows are. I mean, there was definitely, violence and profanity and all that kind of stuff in it, but I feel like the newer HBO series just go over the top with those kind of aspects. But the story was just great, and it was realistic and often disappointing in its ending, but it was at the same time not just like negative. A show that I watched all of that I liked, and as I got further and further into it, I regretted ever having started watching it, was Sons of Anarchy. At the end of that series, I just wanted everybody to end up dead, pretty much. And that's pretty close to how it ended. The only kind of positive factor to the end was that the two little innocent kids finally get out of the big mess of everything. So, The Wire, there was nothing super duper positive about it, but it didn't end like that, where everybody just suffered by the end of it, So I really liked that show for a drama. And Ed asks, do I prefer black and white comics or color? That's his first question. Black and white comics, they took getting, when I was first confronted with reading black and white comic, first one was, and it might have been Essex County, was the first black and white comic that I read, because I hadn't read the old yet at that time. And I had purchased it on a digital sale, probably for like $5 or like that. And I was starting to get to know Jeff Lemire, and I had liked his other stuff, and I want to check that out. And I kept on putting it off because I would load it up on Comixology, and I would sit there and look at it. And I just looking at it wouldn't draw me in. The art's pretty simplistic. It's black and white. Like, nothing. There's not a lot of pizzazz there to draw you in. Finally, I just started. It was fantastic. It's one of my favorite things by Jeff Lemire. Might be my favorite thing by Jeff. The lack of color of the artwork didn't detract from what I got in. That's a book that I really has a lot of heart to it. But like, anytime I'm reading a black and white comic, like, it definitely, like, it can be a potential barrier to really getting into the comic. But then sometimes the black and white suits it. Sometimes it makes it a little bit harder to really tell what's happening. Like reading old Ninja Turtle comics, it can be kind of hard to sort out what's going on in the picture. If you've read them, you probably know. One thing that's kind of cool is IDW is published the TMNT Urban Legends series now, and this is a reprint of the Image series, and that was done in black and white, and this is colorized, and man, does it look better colorized. I've read some of it with the black and white. It's so, the images are so much clearer, but it makes it pop a lot more, because this series is a lot more, like, crazy action, surprise for stuff, a lot of over the top stuff, and the color kind of helps keep everything sorted out. So which do I prefer? I mean, I probably prefer color comics if I have to, because it is adding like a layer of art reading, but at the same time, like, a badly colored comic too. There have been some comics that I have tried to read that the coloring might have been the first thing that took me out of it. The best example I could think of off the top of my head, Warren Ellis and Phil Hester Shipwrecked Aftershock. I don't know who colored it, but that was the took it out, ruined it for the coloring. And maybe the coloring wasn't horrible. It wasn't the only aspect that just, it really wasn't up my alley. I mean, I was really digging Warren Ellis, so I wanted to like it for that reason. I've always liked Phil Hester. He did the art on the first Green Arrow series that I read that was written by Kevin Smith. And his covers for that Kevin Smith Green Arrow were fantastic. And interior art was gross, but yeah, the coloring definitely took me out of it right off the bat, but just the nature of the story and is a strange story. It just really wasn't my cup. Yeah, I mean, I would have to say I prefer comics most likely, but I've definitely really opened up to black and white comics a lot. And I guess there's a bigger segment of the comics that I really love now that are black and white, rather. Usagi and quite a few other things that I've gotten in. Ed's other question was, who would be on Avengers? It's kind of cool. We had a DC question, now we're getting a Marvel question. Avengers has never been my biggest cup of tea reading Marvel comics. Part of the reason for that is when I was drawn into reading Marvel, X-Men was what I was drawn into, so they really had very little Avengers. And some of the guys who were key Avengers characters, like Iron Man, Captain America, I didn't have a lot of interest in them yet. Like, I kind of thought they were more for what I liked. Now, over time, I've read more things and been exposed to more, grown to those characters better. I've read some Avengers stuff here and there. My first experience reading Avengers was stuff that was written by Brian Michael Bendis, and it really struck me like he wrote a team book, like it didn't matter who said what. He cared so little for character, it was all just about plot. That's how it struck me. You may disagree, I may be wrong even. I really do need to go back and read some Bendis Marvel, because a lot of what I read from Bendis, I read when I was first starting to read, and it was also new to me that, you know, you didn't really attach qualities at that time, that things like who did what started standing out more to me. So who'd be on my dream Avengers team? I think first of all you need the kind of staple characters of the Avengers, like Iron Man or Captain America. So I'll say for me it's Captain, because I like Captain America better than I like Iron Man now. Having read through Brubaker's Captain America, I have grown much more fond of the. I think you need a more lighthearted kind of wisecracking guy. I like Spider-Man stuff that I've read, so I'll say Spider-Man. I like having a real badass character in there, some time in the Avengers, so I can dig that too. And as a matter of fact, some of the Avengers stuff I read, I believe, had Spider-Man. And then you need kind of a, I guess, kind of a little less beloved, a little less focused on. In the, so I'm gonna say I'd like Kate Bishop as Hawkeye in there. I've read a bunch of Hawkeye stuff, and Hawkeye, Clint Barton Hawkeye, and. But I really dig Kate Bishop. I've liked everything that I've read that's around her. So there you go. There's something that I would like to see that hasn't exactly. But you know what? Digging into the Avengers probably wouldn't be a bad idea for me, because I have not read a lot of it. So that's kind of a segment of the Marvel Universe that'll be pretty fresh for me, but it will also be the stuff that I just touched on yet. And my final question comes from Travis, and he asks, what is my favorite Vertigo title besides Sandman? And right off the bat, one thing jumped to my mind, but then talking about this, we were discussing so far in this podcast, you know, a couple other things kind of entered my mind as things that might be up there with my favorite Vertigo books, like Sweet Tooth book, and I liked that one quite a bit. But I think I'm going to stick with my original thought, which is Swamp Thing. Reading Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, is something that I really, and I haven't read a lot of it, but seeing Bernie Wrightson's art run a Swamp Thing was pretty fantastic too. But yeah, from Vertigo, you know, I like getting the darker books from Vertigo. I guess probably one of the things that I like too is it'll get, some of their books can get pretty dark, but don't go as far as some other publisher books might go, maybe. Although I guess like a lot of envelope pretty Preacher will go a little bit beyond what I want to. But yeah, Swamp Thing. I really love Swamp Thing. It's a very interesting character. It's an interesting story. I'd like to read a lot more Swamp Thing. Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, I think, is the first Swamp Thing that I read, but I also read Scott Snyder's Swamp Thing, which I enjoyed quite a bit as well. So that I think is my favorite Vertigo book besides Sandman. Sandman is one of my absolute books of all time, definitely, far and away. So those are all the listener questions that I had. But there's something I've been thinking about a little bit. I had started, I don't know, a month or two ago, listening to a podcast that I had before I started making podcasts. It's a podcast called War Rocket Ajax. I honestly don't remember if I've talked about it on here before or not. But it was one that I was, honestly, I was new to comics, and I just comic book podcasts, and I found a few different ones, and that was one of them. Well followed. But ultimately, War Rocket Ajax, what I liked about it is just kind of like the guys are just on there having fun with what they're talking about. And listening to it again, I've been thinking a lot about how and why I read comic. You know, I've had to change quite a bit because I can't just go out and buy what I want to. I have to really minimal in what I spend on things. So I got to be really selective with what comics I'm spending money on. There's a lot of ways to read comics nowadays that can, so like I'm trying to use Hoopla really heavily. part of the reason that I haven't had a lot of comics to talk about on here lately is I've been trying just really different things on Hoopla, and I've had more misses than hits lately. Things, they were at least worth checking out, but maybe they weren't enough to draw me to keep going on them. So, like, for the month of June, which is almost over, I was downloading stuff that I was hardly even touching. And I finally decided, getting towards the end of the month, I still had all these Hoopla downloads. So I started getting a lot of kind of Hellboy universe type of to check out, things that I hadn't read before. So I'll be checking those out and talking about them some in the upcoming few episodes, most likely. But with having a little bit of wiggle room to actually... One of the ones that I'm purchasing is the TMNT Urban Legend. And then another one that I decided to start getting is Venom. And so both of these books are kind of examples of what I want to talk about, where, you know, when I'm reading comics, there's a lot of different things that any of us, like, watch, listen, whatever form of entertainment. Sometimes you're doing those things, read something of some kind of a significant meaning, you know, whether it be a very impactful album. Like, music-wise, I've been trying to listen to stuff like David that I hadn't really listened to before. It may not be my exact cup of tea with music, but as I've listened to it, I've grown more appreciation for it. But I could also see its influence on other, you know, so maybe reading literature and comics, maybe it's reading something heavier like Watchmen, or even, you know, more current stuff like reading Sheriff of Baghdad. I would imagine a lot of people who read Sheriff of Baghdad, they're not reading it because it's lighthearted entertainment or something to that effect. It's a pretty heavy book, and like, kind of, it's kind of more worked. There's not just less enjoyment. It's a very good book. There's things that we read because we just kind of statically like them. Like, in general, I like the Ninja Turtles, so the book doesn't always have to be the greatest book. And there are times when Ninja Turtle books wouldn't be top of the pile books. You know, maybe the arc they're going through is kind of a bland one for me, or maybe I'm just not feeling it the same at the moment. And then there's this kind of whole other segment of a way that people can enjoy stuff that is, you know, for me, it's like when I look at something, I'm just like, man, that is dope. Like, that is just freaking awesome. Like, it doesn't have to be the greatest thing always, but there's just something about it that just makes you stop and go, damn. When I started reading Valiant Comics, I read a whole bunch of stuff in a couple of series, but I hadn't really spread out yet. And it was the first issue of when Eric, Exo Manowar, shoots a guy's head through another guy's chest. And the reason that caught me wasn't because it made perfect sense. I've heard other people complain and be negative about that. But that got me to read Exo Manowar. Damn, that is dope. He just shot that guy's head through this other guy's chest. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome. And it was just enjoyable. And it was one of those moments that could just, like a moment of dopeness takes over your mind. It just pushes everything else out and just commands your... And you can find that in any... but the reason I decided to start getting Venom, I read the first issue, and there were quite a few pages in that. I was like, man, that is just awesome. Awesome artwork. You know, it doesn't matter if it's, like, critically the finest artwork or anything like that. But, you know, Ryan Stegman, he's a good artist. And, like, I'm just flipping through issue 2, which I haven't read yet. And there's this awesome page with it looks like a... I don't know, like, I might be wrong, but this looks like a freaking Venom dragon. So Venom is a book that I'm just like, that's a dope book. I'm going to read that. There's going to be stuff that I walk away with just stuck in my head that can just kind of push everything else out. TMNT Urban Legends is kind of like that. You know, I've read some of the story before, so it's like I already kind of know what's going on with the story. But man, there's crazy stuff that goes on in this. The very first issue, Donatello gets practically killed, and by the second issue, he ends up as a cyborg. Raphael gets half of his face shot off, and by the second issue, he's running around in one of Casey Jones's spare hockey. There's just crazy stuff that goes on in this, especially with it being colorized. Like, the stuff pops a lot more, and I'm like, I love ninja crazy situations with crazy things. It's just, it doesn't have to be the best. And talking to some other people that, you know, at least like ninja, like, said it wasn't any good. That's fine. Like, they, you know, they don't have to like it, and we're not all going to like it. But, you know, there's a variety of factors that resonate. For me, it's like, yeah, this isn't the best written. It's not the best art, but it's fun, and it just has those moments that is dope. And for me, the word's dope. It's going to be different for, like, kind of whatever. But, like, just think of the thing that when you see it, like, it's just so enjoyable, it makes you say a word that just sounds so adult. You know, that's really what it is. Like, it makes you let go of all the pretensions. All the, you know, things that we build up in our head that matter. Like, those things can matter. But man, if you're just like doing something to enjoy it, that's why I had talked a couple weeks back about reading a little bit of Hack Slash, and like that book was like a fairly dumb book. You know, it's not the type of thing I would normally read, but like sometimes you just want to read something where like something ridiculous in there, and some of the just ridiculous slasher stuff in that book that I read just kind of shook me out of my norm, and I enjoyed it. Watching a movie like Jurassic Park, that's one of my favorite movies, and some of the dinosaur stuff in there is just awesome. My cousin's a big wrestling fan, and I enjoy wrestling, and I enjoy it more because of him. And some of the stuff that I've watched because of that kind of shared fondness with Mike, like lately, Pete Dunne, he's great to watch. The stuff that he does, like it's great to watch a wrestling match that just stops everything you're worrying about, thinking about, and just kind of stuff in it blows your mind. And I don't know, like especially being an adult, I'm in my mid-30s, about to turn 35. I've got plenty of, I got work, I got a family, I got all to worry about. And I'm kind of realizing, like, instead of getting caught up in just, like, what things we're keeping up with, be kept up with. Man, if I'm going to read comics, I'm reading comics to get shooken out of, and to just really enjoy things. So if I'm not enjoying it, I don't need to read it. I don't need to spend my time or I don't need to keep up with something because it's, you know, it's the current thing going on or because other people say it's important or whatnot. Same thing with anything else, watching wrestling. I've really had to learn to do that being a sport. You know, I become a fan of four big sports in the U.S. and it's easy to get yourself really ratcheted up as a sports fan and then to take stuff really hard. And it's definitely true that the more emotionally invested you are in sports, the bigger the reward's going to be when stuff goes well. But man, it can make it hurt a lot more when it doesn't go well. And man, I got myself all worked up for the Dodgers in the World Series, and it was really rough seeing them because I stayed up way too late many nights, and there was a lot of stuff going on during the World Series. There's a big storm where I live that caused a multi-day power outage that was right around that time, and man, it was rough. It was rough staying up till 2 in the morning watching some of those games, and you know, I had already been learning by then that, okay, like it's better just to back off some and enjoy what there is to enjoy, but not to make it something that can be so hard on me too. Like with sports, I just can't take that downside anymore. So that's just something that's been on my mind a lot lately. So for me, when I'm reading comics, whatever I'm reading, I just want to enjoy it. And if I'm not reading something that somebody else thinks is important to read or that they're loving, like I'll check stuff out if people recommend it. But if I'm not reading it and that's problematic for them, then I don't really need to talk to them. If I'm enjoying something and somebody just wants to be negative about it, I don't need to talk to them. You know, that kind of goes for everything. If it's there for enjoyment, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to talk to the people who don't enjoy it. That's fine. Don't enjoy it if you're not enjoying it. I definitely recommend that people don't waste their time on, but I'm also not going to waste my time on dwelling on your lack of enjoyment or trying to debate it with you either. So that's something that's been on my mind. That's going to be the end of this podcast. I've talked longer than I really thought that I would tonight. More time trying to record this podcast too, because I was having all sorts of problems. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. But I want you to all think about, you know, what are those things, whether it be in comics, video games, sports, fake sports like wrestling, whatever it may be. Like, tweet me, hit me up at Who's Paul. What are some of those dope things in your life? Those things you just get that stupid enjoyment out of. That just blast everything else out of your with that sheer feeling of I got to witness that awesomeness. I got to be a part of that. And you get that moment that you could just hang on to as well. And if stuff is stressful, whatever it may be, you take that and you just force all that out of your mind. One more instance of that with you. There's a Brother Ali song that I came across. Even though I've listened quite a bit to Brother Ali lately, over the last like year or so, I haven't listened to everything that he's done more than kind of focusing on certain. But this one song, it's on the album Us, which came out in 2009. This song is called Fresh Air. And you know what? I think that song kind of sums up what I'm talking about a little bit too, just kind of in your personal life and the things that really matter and how getting through the stuff that could be really off, like you get to those times that are just really awesome that matter more. So check out that song. Fresh Air on the album Us by Brother Ali came out in 2009. Tweet me at Who's Paul, tell me what things are... And hopefully, the next episode I do, we'll be talking about some Mouse Guard, which is recommended by Ed Moore, one of our two patrons. Thank you, Ed, for your contributions here, both monetarily helping to shape what I talk about on the podcast. So until next time, go out.
Or someone else will take your title, namely me, because I'm homicidal. That means murder. Your son, I'm the herder, another MC. They try to get with me, I'll just break them and make them and rake them and take them and mold them and make them hold up the peace sign. Ashalom, wait. Wow.